Welcome to the Well-Spoken Word Podcast. Our mission is to coach developing leaders to speak with clarity and confidence. Now let's join host Mark Stafford and your speaking coach Dave Arden as they tackle the shackles that hold you back.
Hey, this is Mark Stafford, and I'm here with your speaking coach, Dave Arden. And we want to welcome you to the seventh episode of The Well-Spoken Word. Now, Dave, today we want to talk about your blog post that's titled The Speaker as an Artist. So I want you to unpack that a little bit today. How do you think that public speaking reflects art? How is it like artwork?
So, Mark, I'm in awe of the Lord that He has created so many different varying kinds of speaking styles, rhythms, and opportunities, really, for people to speak and be heard. When I listen to other speakers, I see art form. I see art. I see some pastors and some leaders that when they speak, it's like they're a journalist. You know, they're just going after the word and really diving in. And some people are lawyers. I had an elder I worked with for years that when we were going through the book of Romans together, he was like a lawyer. He would just go in there and pull out the word, pull out the precepts, and just draw it out. And then I'm more of an artist. When I go through the word and we're going through the book of Romans, I'm like a gardener walking through the garden saying, you know, look at all the pretty flowers. And, you know, so there's a varying degree of style that we can bring to the table. Some people would not look at me as an artist. I don't know. I've had a struggle for years even kind of seeing myself as an artist. But over the years, when I write especially, I like to see and bring out a little bit of flavor, if you will, and opportunity. So the speaker is really an artist. You know, he's bringing out a certain amount of style, rhythm, flow, pausing. You know, he's painting word pictures as an artist would paint a canvas of colors and passions and inflections. Every soul. How many times in the book of Psalms does David says, you know, my soul this and my soul that. He's speaking from the soul. So there's a form of soul communication in public speaking where we're communicating not just eyeball to eyeball and physical to physical, but emotionally connecting and spiritually connecting on a deeper level that to bring about truth, wisdom, and grace from God's word, you know?
Yeah, you know, public speaking isn't just words, you know, really public speaking is about energizing people and inspiring people. Can you speak to that a little bit, Dave?
Yeah, I love listening to great speakers. You know, when I think about guys like Churchill, that can stand up and kind of win a whole nation by, you know, we're going to fight them on the beaches. We're going to fight them on the coast. We're going to, and just kind of motivating people by, that's art. Winston Churchill was a wonderful artist as a speaker because he motivated a whole nation to rise up and fight against the Germans. I think about the wonderful artistic speech that Mark Antony gave when Caesar died. You know, all the conspirators formed against him. They killed Julius Caesar on March 15th, right? The Ides of March. And yet Mark Antony comes up there and makes a heart cry, kind of an artistic way to say, hey, this guy loved you guys. He's passionate about you guys, you know, and kind of brought out a form. And he made some artful comments that even William Shakespeare drew out, you know, the friends, Romans, countrymen's part of that speaking was kind of artistic, et tu, Brute.
Yeah.
You know, isn't Brutus honorable? He brought some hyperbole into the case. And so essentially won over the hearts of the Romans against the conspirators. So by public speaking and using kind of sarcasm or hyperbole, even persuasion, if you will, he won over the whole Roman crowd to wage war against the conspirators, which was kind of really fascinating form of study.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you bringing out those historical examples, and those are great examples of how people are able to motivate and inspire people in an artistic way. I mean, one example to go and fight, and this other example to, that was so inspiring that even Shakespeare had referred to it. We also see some examples in God's Word where people in the Bible were speaking very artistically. They were using words beautifully. Talk to us a little bit about how we see public speaking played out in God's Word.
Well, thanks, Mark. I love the question because the Word is rich. The Word has wisdom books. And David, when he speaks in the book of Psalms, is very artistic, even from Psalm 23, you know, talking about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's certainly a flow about that. Ecclesiastes, Solomon says there's a time to be born and the time to be to die. There's a season in everything, which is artistic. The Beatitudes, when Jesus talked about what it really is to be a Christian, the fundamentals of the Christian life, you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Just had an artful flow. Jesus brought out some of that. Or even on the cross, Christ kind of artistically talking about his finish, really one word in the original language that we have, and other phrases on there that just, today you'll be with me in paradise. Just the term paradise from the scriptures is really a picturesque view of garden kind of setting, green, lush, beautiful setting. That Jesus even gave it to us on the cross while he was speaking to those during his own crucifixion. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, and what about the Apostle Paul? He had some really beautiful things to say, and even more beautiful things that he wrote.
Paul was amazing. I love Paul's artful way to speak. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, so many times he's just bringing out really a beautiful language and speaking to ways. When Paul is in front of people in Athens, talks to them about the importance of knowing this unknown God and experiencing in a relationship. And the way he does it was really interesting, drawing in actually the sculpture of the day toward an idol and brings it in that. So Paul is really adept at taking language and bringing art form to it. So I think we can learn from those examples, and we can really inspire others by thinking not just how can we say things to get them information across, but how can we say things that would inspire others? How can we say things in a way that would draw people in? When we're forceful, that's great, but there's a difference between forceful and persuasive and being pushy. It's a fine line, right? We want to compel, we want to call to action, but if we're just so forceful and so pushy with too many words, which was certainly my case for years, too many words, maybe modern art, if you will splash these words against the wall and say, this is art, versus, no, let's pause for a second. As the speaker, like an artist would approach a canvas and say, what color do I need to bring? What highlights do I need to bring? How can I highlight the Word of God through my own voice? And just one example, Mark, we'll kind of segue into practical side on the back half of this podcast.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Oftentimes in our communication, and oftentimes when we're communicating for years, we had a lot of ways to share the gospel that were very wordy. You know, we had different wordy approaches to say, okay, if you're going to share the gospel, you've got to share, you know, without naming names, these 500 words or these 1,000 words or whatever. Well, I struggle with too many words because I don't talk right. So what I've got to do and what the Lord's teaching me is, no, find an approach that works for me, my own rhythm, but think in terms of power words. So when you're communicating the word, or when you're trying to share your story, share testimony, or even bring others to the light of God, think about what are 10 words about Christ that really help you make a connection. Maybe that word is king. Maybe that word is friend. Maybe it's comforter. But bring out not many words, but bring about a quality of words and a strength of words that really connects with who you're trying to get across. That's going to resonate with that audience, that resonate with that person, and they're going to really be able to make a deeper bond with you. Again, not for the number of words, but for the quality and the depth of words you speak.
Well, I love that, Dave. And on the other side of this break, we'll talk more about how to develop yourself, developing your inner artist as a speaker. But during this break, we want to talk about, well, the book you wrote, Chosen to Speak, and the resources that your ministry has. So we'll be right back.
Do you struggle to find your own voice or to speak with confidence in public? Do you need to grow in effectiveness as a speaker in order to become a better leader? If so, then the Chosen to Speak book and Chosen to Speak community can help. They have a mission to coach developing leaders to speak with clarity and confidence. Start your journey today by ordering the Chosen to Speak book. Chosen to Speak can be found on Amazon.com. Now back, Well-Spoken Word.
Welcome back to the Well-Spoken Word. I'm here with Dave Arden, your speaking coach. And Dave, you were talking on the first half of the program about how good public speaking is kind of like a piece of artwork. It's like verbal artwork. And so I want to talk a little bit about how a speaker brings out their inner artist. So Dave, can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, like practically speaking, what kind of like exercises or techniques can be used by a public speaker to be creative in the way they're presenting their information?
Well, Mark, thank you for that. I know art, it is a form of art because people get passionate about speaking. Like they get passionate about art. Sometimes people see a sculpture or see a painting and they're like, it's just something lights up inside. And they're like, I'm passionate about that. I love that. I love this color. I love that figure. I love this reflection or this flow. And so when we're bringing about some kind of truth, and particularly truth from the Word of God, there's something inside of us that's got to go, you know, this excites me. This is what part of the Word excites me. And if we're not excited about the Word, if we're not excited about what God's trying to say, guess what? Our audience is not likely to be very enthralled with what we're trying to say. So when we approach the Word of God, we need to approach it with, okay, what lights the Lord up about this passage? What is Holy Spirit pleased about this passage? And how can we please God in this passage based on reflecting who He is, His character, His love, and His life in us? And so speaking makes me passionate because I know when I hear good speaking, it inspires me. Speaking also makes me passionate when I hear speaking that's not so good. And I'm like, you know, that that guy can do better than that. Just like somebody saw me, hey, this guy can do better. So let's just talk about what it is. To get a hold of our inner artist, we've got to find out what enthralls us, what excites us about the Word, and how it's going to excite the people that we're speaking to about the Word of God, and how it's going to impact their lives ultimately. It's going to change lives when we hear and do the Word of God.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, I once heard a guy say that you shouldn't get up behind a microphone until you're pretty excited about what it is you're going to say. And if you have a passion, if you're excited about the things you're going to say, then your audience is going to be captivated by that too. But if you're kind of bored by it, then your audience is going to pick up on that. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. We've got to find out what connects with us emotionally, what connects with the Lord emotionally, ultimately, and spiritually on what this is about with Him. And we've got to come to this, really develop an emotional vocabulary. You know, for years I struggled in relationship, I think, with my wife and my family, because I didn't have an emotional vocabulary. And what I mean by that is I'm an intellectual, kind of raised by an engineer, and I can think well and respond intellectually, but I don't know what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling, and how to express that in a way that really communicates on a deeper level. So part of this communications approach is, as we get to the Word of God, and this is Psalm 139, oh God, search me and know me, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, is where are we going to connect with hearts? And where are we going to connect with the spirit of a man by connecting with them on the passion level, the heart level.
So how have you gone about developing an emotional vocabulary? Like, tell us, practically speaking, how do you go from having more of an engineering mind to more of a emotional way of talking?
Well, I think, first of all, there's 200 or 300 plus emotions. And essentially, there's 7 or 8 key emotions, like keys on a keyboard, an octave, if you will. And there's an unlimited amount of ways to play out those keys in terms of music. So when we're spending time with the Word, and when we're spending time with the Lord and looking at something, we can say, you know, there's certain notes that we're going to hit, certain passions we're going to hit that light us up. We're going to think and feel a certain way about the Word based upon the different responses we get from that piece of Word. So again, think about the 7 or 8 key emotions, right, being played in a number of different ways. There's an unlimited amount of ways and blends that we can bring the Word of God to somebody emotionally. And it's not just to connect emotionally with them. The bridge and connect emotionally is to deep down cut into their spirit and let the Holy Spirit come into the spirit of man to change the man. It's not just what we know. It's how we're conveying that, how we're connecting with their heart and their soul.
So it isn't just emotion. It's also personal stories and testimonies and some really descriptive wording. Tell us a little bit more about how you can use those kind of things to create really vivid and captivating speeches.
Let's just talk about, there's more than one way to give a message. You know, oftentimes at seminary or school, we're learning, hey, there's 3 points, communicate this information to somebody, and then their life's going to change. Well, there's more than that. Jesus taught in a number of different ways. One of them is story. You know, narrative messages. Tell a story. Talk about the people in the story, break down the lessons, and do the takeaway. So when we're telling a story and then listening to good storytelling really helps us with this, we need to look at who the characters are, what's their motivation, what's holding them back, and ultimately what they're accomplishing in the story. One of my favorite stories from the scriptures is the Good Samaritan story. A man who is the traveler, if you will, is heading down from Jerusalem away from God, if you will, and he falls in the hands of bandits and thieves who leave him half dead, right, and naked. And then the Christ figure, the Samaritan, comes to rescue him. There's so much art in that story because it's a story of a man who's struggling to go away from God. And he's a man who I think we can all identify with, who's busted and broken and beat down by sin and by the partners of sin who put him in a bad place. And he's left there alone. He's hurting. He's wondering if they're going to come back and finish off. So he's afraid. He's wondering if he's going to survive. And then he looks up, and guess what? There's two men coming around the road. He thinks it's my lucky day. 2 passer types are rolling down the road. And then, they walk right on by, and he's even more discouraged. So looking at the story like that and going, what is it that's driving the story? You know, it's certainly corruption of man getting away from God. And then the Christ figure coming in, the Good Samaritan, to rescue him and restore him. So putting ourselves into the story, putting our lives, putting our brokenness, being vulnerable, that's something else I think that has to be done in an artfully and encouraging ways. We want to share our story, want to share our brokenness, but not in a way to overwhelm people or go pathological, if you will, to share too much pathology, but we want to share our story in a way that's redemptive. You know, here's how God redeemed my story, and here's how God redeemed me, and here's how God used my brokenness and my failure to bring out His good purposes.
Yeah, so tell us about the balance there, the balance between an artistic expression and effectively communicating, you know, just the facts, the message about the gospel and the message of Jesus, and then doing that in a way that actually draw people closer to Jesus. That's quite a thing to balance, right?
Mark, that's a great question. Maybe the question of the day really for this podcast is, how do we bring about the truth? We really want to share the truth. We don't want to just be artistic for artistic's sake. We don't want people to say, yeah, I'm smarter because of your message. We want to have people see Christ, and Christ is truth. You know, he says, I am the truth. So first question when we're talking about the truth is, where is Jesus in this message? And where does this message draw people closer to Jesus, or does it frankly push people away from Jesus? And so if we look at that standard of Christ is the truth, his powerful reign authority and the message is truth, then we can say, okay, I can at least aim in that direction, right? I can say, where is Jesus reflected? And if when people walk away from this, or how are they going to become more like Christ? That's one balance to do that. So art is great, and we want to be artistic if we can, but we don't want to just be artistic for artistic's sake. We want to be able to say, okay, this draws people in. This engages their mind, their soul, their spirit. This gives them a greater picture of what it really means to follow Christ. Again, I think, and we talked about Paul and some of the examples that he has, just being able to communicate to them, hey, the love and the light and the truth of God in a way that reflects. Even the book of Revelation, John is artistic, and as he reflects the word of Christ, he tells the church in Thyatira, you know, you guys are doing some things well, faithful, consistent, but you got some immorality issues. And then he says, but I'm going to give you, for those who do my will and obedience, I'm going to give you the power to rule over authority over the nations. And I'm going to use your authority, even like a piece of pottery is crushed, to dominate and to establish. And so what an inspirational word from Christ, even to say, hey, he's given us the nations. He's given us opportunity to grow and to excel. And he uses a piece of pottery as an example of his power and grace.
Well, we've explored a lot of different aspects of public speaking as an art form. It can captivate people. It can energize people. It can inspire people. We can use words to convey a person's character. They have a style. They have a rhythm. They have a flow. Sometimes they have authority. They have beauty. They have emotional connections. There's all these different aspects, right? And then we went through and we talked about how art is in the Bible. This speaking as art is in the Bible, from King David's writings, these poetic psalms, to the Apostle Paul and the speeches that he wrote. The Bible showcases all these different ways that words are used really effectively. And then we discussed how speakers bring out their inner artist to create captivating speeches by using personal stories and testimonies and language. They create this imagery that engages listeners, draws them closer to the message of Jesus, because that's ultimately the goal, is that we use speech well, we use words well in order to draw people to Christ. So Dave, hey, thank you so much today for your coaching and for this time we've had to talk about what it is to be well-spoken. Oh yeah, go ahead. I'll let you have the last word, Dave.
Yeah, let me have one more word if you don't mind. That's a great review, Mark, and I appreciate all that.
Yeah.
I want to just say this. For us to really be effective speakers, we really need Holy Spirit in there to help us. The Holy Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Christ is what really reflects his beauty, his majesty, and who he is. And I think if we can align our message with the Holy Spirit to be able to help people see him and know him, and then when they know him, then they're drawn to him, their lives are changed. And so I just want to open that up as well to our listeners today, to say, you know what, when you're hearing the message, when you're speaking, where is Holy Spirit speaking? Where is Christ speaking through us, that people are drawn? And when we're artistic and use words that are reflective and deeper, and Holy Spirit really is what helps us go deeper, then those words soak in and become part of someone's identity. And that's the beauty and the purpose of Christ's teaching and the Word of God, is to come and to change us. You know, are we the same people we walked in the door when we hear the Word as we walk out with? And I think we need to consider that as we're speaking and allowing Holy Spirit to speak through us, to help people to soak up the Word, identify with the Word, and be transformed by it, because it's the Spirit of Christ and the Word of Christ that really do the heart change. I can't fix anybody out there I'm speaking to. You can't fix anybody, right? We don't fix anybody. It's people seeing Christ and saying, you know, and being inspired by Christ and being motivated by the Holy Spirit to finish what we started and to be obedient to the Lord. And so it's only Christ in us that helps us to speak well, and it's Christ in us that helps us obey because of His Spirit.
Well, hey, Dave, I appreciate that. And I think on that, we'll end the podcast. So, hey, this has been The Well-Spoken Word, and we'll see you next time.
The Well-Spoken Word podcast is a production of Chosen to Speak Ministries. Learn more about Chosen to Speak at chosentospeak.com.